Hello.
Hi again.
Hello again. So, resistance.
Resistance.
What do you have to say on that subject? Nice broad opening, straight into it.
Well, actually, I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm.
What do you understand resistance to be?
My initial thought would be resistance to the process of life wanting to come through me, of my healing, of my evolution, of my growth, my expression.
Right.
And when resistance is all those ways that I control that.
Yes.
I try and control it.
Yes.
I think I'm controlling it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. That's helpful. To me, when I talk about resistance, it's something that I observe, unfortunately, a lot. And even more, unfortunately, it seems to be increasing exponentially. It's the resistance to healing, to bringing ourselves and indeed our lives, therefore, to healing. And of course, what that means then is that we're resisting to bringing healing to our societies, to our community, to this world, to everything.
Yeah.
So resistance is pretty key. And of course, because resistance is resistance, it means that 9.9 times out of 10, those people who are resisting will not recognize that they are resisting. They will deny it up and down. No, 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 I'm not resisting. It's because you're not very good at what you do, Kim.
Mm.
Or it's something that somebody else has done or not doing, nothing to do with them. Mm. So it's a complete disassociation and a complete lack of taking responsibility.
Mm.
And of course, whilst there has always been resistance to some degree, the increase in resistance appears to me anyway to be this persistence with mindfulness.
Mm.
That mindfulness now is somehow this new thing that means that you're in with the in crowd and you're really doing the work on yourself and you're being so marvelous and look at me, I'm making a fabulous contribution to society.
Mm.
And of course, mindfulness is, as the name suggests, connects you with your mind. What a nightmare. Mm. Who on earth in their right mind, would want to be connected with their mind?
Mm.
That's the last place you want to be connected with. It's invidious and it's been designed to take people away from the reality of who they are, their soul, the energy of their soul, and their healing. And then you've got all of the psychos, you know, the psychiatry and what's the other one? Psychotherapy. God save us all. Literally producing that. Because I see these people, you know, they come to me and they've heard about me and they think, right, well, I know, I haven't been able to sort this out, so maybe this person can help me. And the first thing that is required of them is that they allow themselves to open up sufficiently to let the healing in.
Mm.
But they've been so fantastically well trained by all of these psychos and the mindfulness and the need to be seen to be woke, whatever the fuck that means, that they absolutely refuse to let go of that control. They've become incredibly attached to, this is me and I'm rather marvellous and bugger off if you don't agree. And if you're saying that all of that needs healing, well, then there's something wrong with you, Kim, is, you know, the general gist.
Mm.
And I watch them sometimes with tears in my eyes as they are so evidently in physical pain, but they will still refuse to cease resisting.
So why is that?
That is, of course, the $64,000 question.
Please.
And as you can imagine, you know, I reflect on this a lot.
Mm.
Because one of the things that I have to accept is, particularly with the work that I do, which is, you know, takes you back to your soul energy so that you can move very quickly through all of your mind stuff and become all of who you are. And I've always accepted that there are going to be people who are simply not ready for that. And that's fine, of course. But what distresses me is that I see more and more people who are not ready for that and who become aggressively defensive about it. Now, again, all, you know, all healers of any sort will have had an experience where they've been blamed by somebody that has come to them for help but are actually refusing to help. So we take this, you know, with a pinch of salt, water off a duck's back. Yeah. But this level of unwillingness to take responsibility. So for me, that is what the resistance is. It's at base, it's an unwillingness to take responsibility. And what that is, and listen to my throat close up here, because I do find this genuinely very distressing, because it is, it's not possible. Nobody can help anybody if you are not willing to receive that.
Yeah.
And that's what resistance is. It's an unwillingness to receive, an unwillingness to take responsibility, an unwillingness at bottom line, at heart, to be of your compassion. You are simply not willing to allow the good of the all to come before you.
Mm.
And this is the tragedy that we see in our world unfolding right now. Just imagine if even 50% of us were prepared to put the good of the all before the good of the all of us, because we understand that at heart it's exactly the same thing. This is the irony, the horrible irony of it. It is actually the same thing. When you put the good of the all before the good of the all of you, it is the same thing. It becomes what is good for the all of you. But because people are unwilling to do that, they become incredibly resistant and they become part of the problem, a big part of the problem. And they unwittingly are playing into the hands of those who wish to divide us, because that's essentially what happens. And so the New Age psychobabble becomes the new Bible. But we're just replacing one pile of shit with another.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with healing, nothing to do with love, nothing to do with profound compassion, nothing to do with us all taking our power back, and nothing to do with taking responsibility, nothing to do with receiving. How awful. So all of us are all wandering around, and half of us, at least, much more than that, 80% of us are actually getting in the way of the rest of us trying to receive so that we can be of that to the world around us. It's a very clever mindfuck. And more of us seem to be succumbing to it.
And so how do they get in the way of us who want to heal? How does that dynamic happen?
Because, first of all, they refuse to enjoin you know, on an energy level, whether they're aware of it or not. I've got no idea whether to what degree they might be aware of it. I suspect that they're much more aware of it than they let on. But they're not willing to be wrong, because it's more important that they're right. You know, it really does come down to this profound self-ishness.
No.
I've been psychobabbled, and there's no way I absolutely refuse to admit that I might have been led up the garden path, that I might be wrong on this. I will not do this. This is why the vast majority of, for example, people who work in the medical profession, I use that term advisedly, of course, who then become very aware that this is not about helping people. Yeah. They then become very aware of the fact that they're breaking their Hippocratic oath every single moment of every single day, but do nothing about it.
Yeah.
There are a few that do, and thank you to those that do, because they also help inform us about what the pharmaceutical industry is really is really up to. But the vast majority won't do it. Why? Because they're so entirely wrapped up with themselves. And I used to have a great deal of compassion. Well, I always have compassion, or we must always have compassion. If we're not having compassion, then we're not being of our soul energy. But actually, sort of, I could understand, yes, I can see, that would be really difficult. I get it, you know, and I would counsel others who would be very, these bastards, blah, blah, blah. And I would say, yeah, but you know, it's very difficult for them and they've been trained in this and they just need to be helpful and helped with this. But now it's got to such a point where I for one, I'm not up for tolerating it anymore.
Mm.
And I, for one, am calling it out all over the place.
Mm.
And I will start off, of course, being very courteous about it.
Mm.
But if somebody persists in their delusion, which is harming all of us,
mm.
then my manner and tone changes.
Mm.
And I feel that that's what we should all be doing.
That's what we need to be doing.
That we don't tolerate this kind of shit mm. anymore, because it's sucking us all down.
Mm.
And this conflation of spirituality means that we're all floating around being awfully nice to each other,
yeah.
and, you know, sweetie, and isn't helping.
And understanding, as you say,
yes.
yeah,
but yes.
not, and by then kind of letting it slide.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Just, it's okay, they'll wake up when they're ready.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we don't have the luxury of that anymore, and actually I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because I can see much more clearly now that these are people who are just entrenched in the comfort of being wrapped up in their own self-marvelousness,
mm.
really. And they've become psycho themselves,
mm.
which, of course, is the plan,
mm.
you know, from the psychopaths that are running things here. That's their dream, to turn all of us into psychopaths. So then they've won. Then they get their planet, mm. Our planet. They take it over and do with it as they will. Which, mm. of course, is to turn it into a reptilian swamp, by the sounds of it.
Mm.
And I'm not joking. So the moment that they can turn us into psychopaths, then it's very easy for us all to turn on each other and do their job for them.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I feel it is beholden on us to call each other out.
Yeah.
When we're resisting, taking responsibility and receiving the love and the power that is there for us,
mm.
when we stop needing to be super marvelous, superior,
mm.
or feeling safe because, safe of course in inverted commas, it's not really safe at all, but feeling safe because, oh look, I'm getting lots of likes on my social media posts,
mm. you know?
And oh look, I'm going along with what everybody thinks is true, and all of those idiot tinfoil hat wearers, they don't know what they're talking about, but look at me, I'm rather marvellous and I agree, ugh. I mean, time to call these fuckers out, because they are getting in the way of those of us who are of love.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as we know, and we've spoken about this before, compassion requires some very hard words.
Yeah. Hmm. And when you say those things, I feel in you the compassion for that. And I think someone could take it as mocking, but it's not a mocking, is it? It's a,
no,
when you're
God,
speaking,
no.
it's a reality, I guess, isn't it?
Yes, it's dealing with the reality, exactly mm. right. It's exactly right.
Mm.
And I remember when, gosh, very long time ago, but I was collecting a ticket, an airplane ticket. This is in the days when, you know, humans were talking to each other. And you actually went up and collected paper things. You probably won't remember paper tickets, but I certainly
just
do.
Just about.
Just about, yes. Those really weird thingies. And the woman that was serving me snapped my head off about something, you know, and I was really shocked. And I stood to the side while I just went, what just happened? And then I went back up to her and I said, what's going on? Are you okay? You know, I fly with your airline. I know half the people on this desk. I use your airline 2 or 3 times a month. I've never been spoken to like this before. You know, what's happening? And she burst into tears. And then some colleagues came over. And what happened there was, I could have just ignored it, what she did. I could have shouted at her.
Yeah.
You know, I could have said, how dare you speak to me like that? I am a customer, blah, 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 mm. blah, blah, blah. Or complained to mm. the superior or something like this. I just decided not to tolerate this outrageous behavior, actually. But being of my compassion was just checking in with her, you know, what's going on? This is very strange. That prompted her to then release, and clearly something was going on with her because she burst into tears and she got the help that she needed because her colleagues all stepped up.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of them gave me a filthy look because they'd assumed that I'd caused her to cry. And they're right, I did cause her to cry, but I caused her to break down this barrier that she'd put up, which in turn was causing her to be mean and horrible to other people and preventing her from getting the healing and the help and the love from her friends, her colleagues, that she required. So this is easy to do, and my feeling is we should all be doing this all the time.
Mm.
We just don't tolerate shit anymore from anybody. And we express it in a compassionate way. Of course, we are beings of love. Why else would we be anything other than compassionate? Yeah. It's ludicrous to suppose that we wouldn't be. And if somebody doesn't respond in the way that she did, then we can take it a step further and call it out. But again, it doesn't require big drama.
Yeah.
It does require sometimes you'll have to get over yourself because you might, as I did, get a couple of filthy looks from people because they'll assume, you know, that I've made her cry.
Yeah.
But again, what does that matter? That's not the point. It wasn't done so that I could feel good.
Mm.
It was done because something was out, something was off. This wasn't okay, and I wasn't prepared to accept it. You know, there is a possibility of another experience being had by all of the people in that group. And also, of course, it's very interesting what's happening to my voice again now. And also by all of the people that she would subsequently serve. So by somebody stepping up and saying something, that prevented a whole load of people down the line being spoken to in this way. And, of course, also stopped her from carrying on feeling whatever it was that was going on with her. This is all possible. And it's a completely different thing from this bullshit of let's pay it forward and let's be kind. You know, this is another form of resistance because this is about, let's make me feel good.
Mm.
And it's not about you or me or any of us as individuals. It's resisting who and what you actually are. And that is about as unappreciative as you can be. You know, you are, I am, we all are this immense power, this immense love, this extraordinary joy. And if we are resisting that, then what kind of an asshole does that make you?
Mm.
How dare you, I would say, resist being that? Why would you want to resist being that?
And I'm just checking in with myself here, like, why? You know, I'm asking myself that question, why? Why do I resist that? I mean, it's nice to receive, there's a permission in your words that I feel like, oh yes, you know, this is not some airy-fairy thing, this is reality. There's a permission to accept that I am that, that we are that. And there's a permission also, as you said, to call out in myself and others when that's not the case. Mm. And it's a new way of being in the world. It's a new kind of paradigm of just being with others and with,
yes,
because it's so. I'm just really getting this sense that it's so easy and so subtle the ways in which we give this power to others.
Yes.
Like in those moments.
Permission. We're giving permission, them permission.
Yeah.
If we do not act in accordance with love, shall we say, with power, with joy, then we are giving our permission.
Permission, yes. Permission. That's a powerful word, actually.
Yes.
She could easily get there given the permission of her, this lady, to say those things and then walk away.
Yes, which is giving permission by default.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the same thing we do. I mean, I look at, you know, social media, yes. you know, scrolling and letting all these people's lives into my own life, giving yes. them permission for that energy.
Yes.
You know, their thoughts, their feelings, whatever bullshit they also carry.
Yes.
You know, in.
Yes.
Just one simple example of how much permission we're giving to, on an individual level, but also on the macro level to society. Yes. And you mentioned, you know, all the trends in mindfulness and mental health yes. and that stuff. It's because we're not maybe standing up for actually what we believe, or
we're not taking responsibility.
So,
and we're not receiving.
We're not receiving. Yeah. Because it takes a bit of, like, to, because it's very easy, for example, the mindfulness, you know, come back to that, which is a really great example, because if you do look at it, it is very much, it is disembodying. It's very much, like I said, about the mind and not yes. about our completeness. So how do we become aware of that? Like, because it's presented in such a way that, you know, we go, oh yeah, great, society's making a step forward, you know, we're going towards an evolution, an awakening, wonderful. And yet, I completely understand what you're saying, that if you look at it from a deeper perspective, it's really actually not helpful. How do you see that?
Yes, that's a really
that?
Good question. You ask of yourself, how, or indeed does, this serve the all?
Mm.
And if you ask that of mindfulness, hey guys, the clue's in the name.
Yeah, sometimes
why would
it's
you
just
want
really
to be
obvious.
Full of the mind? You know, this is it's really interesting. I keep having to clear my throat here. This, if we feel drawn to something, then we need to ask ourselves why. And if there is any hint of a tint because that it's about you, then really examine that. Really look at that very closely again. Give yourself, be really thorough with yourself. You know, is this because I want to be special or superior? Or is this something that's going to help me be of my love, of my power, of my joy, of my healing? And therefore, I'm making the contribution that I came here to make. And if you ask yourself that question rigorously, it will always guide you in the right direction.
Do you think it would always be about being special, or would it be also about being safe? In that moment,
that's also about being special,
yeah.
in a way, isn't it?
Being protected. That yes. I am safe. Yes. Maybe it's about the
yes.
I.
Me, 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 me,
me, me, me, me,
me.
Yep. Interesting.
And you know, it keeps coming to me, so I'm going to say it. So this is even more hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
And I just moved. I was living in central London those days, and I just moved to a new. Apartment, and a friend of mine, lovely Patrick, he said, right, I'm coming round and I'll take you out for a drink, you know, because you've been unpacking all day and all the rest of it. So we, and also, of course, gave me an opportunity to have a look at the neighbourhood. So we found this nice sort of wine bar type place, and it also had a pool table at the back, and so that was great. Okay, fine. So we get there and the barman turned out to be, as it was almost invariable in London in those days, from South Africa. So we were having a long chat with him, and then Patrick went off to the loo, and then all of a sudden I was aware of a sort of disturbance in the energy. It was really quite startling, and it made my head swing round from the conversation I was having with this lovely guy who was running the bar. And I noticed that there was a fight just about to break out. You know that moment? And I'd been playing pool in pubs for long enough to know when it's going to get... when it's going to kick off. Yeah, right, okay. So, you know... And there was this enormously tall guy. I must be 6'1 in my high heels. So he was substantially taller than me. And there was another guy around about my height. And they seemed to be squaring off. Well, they were squaring off. So I just found myself walking over to the tallest one, who seemed to be the progenitor of all of this. And I just very gently said to him, Why are you doing this? And that's what happened. That was just that stillness happened. And you could feel all of the sort of energy going. And then I walked back to the bar. Everything carried on. Everything was normal again. The barman said, fucking hell. Right, okay, drink's on me. And he poured out a glass of champagne. Patrick came back from the loo and said, did I miss anything, sarcastically? And the barman said, actually, you did. Ha, ha, ha. And Patrick, who is very awake, he just looked at me and he said, oh, you've done that again, have you? Right, okay, cool. Because that meant that we could play pool, because then the place wouldn't have been trashed. And this is part and parcel of it. This is when this happened, this was able to happen because I was of my profound compassion. There was no judgment in me speaking to him. I wasn't scared of him. I was nothing about him. I was just about me and him. I was about, but we're all love. And I love you and you love me and you even love him. And he, you know, the fellow protagonist, even loves you. So what's the point of this? All of this was conveyed in however many words, why are you doing it? Yes, just that. That's what was felt. And so, therefore, the only logical conclusion was simply for, oh, yeah, right, you know, good point.
So in a way, you're speaking from and to that space, that the reality of who they are.
Because I was being that.
Yeah.
I was the part of them that is also that was able to hear what was being said.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's completely illogical because when you are a being of love, why on earth would you want to pick up a pool cue and beat the shit out of the guy who's just done something to apparently upset you? It's just senseless. So, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, right, you know. And now, I'm a girl. And I could have had the shit kicked out of me. This is also true. And this is reasons why people don't step up in these circumstances. Yeah. And actually, if you're not able to be of your profound compassion, don't step up because you will have the shit kicked out of you. This is also why I'm saying this resistance shit has to stop. We have to stop resisting who we are so that we can step up and be of service to each other in these situations. Because in the situation, I don't know what went on, but something just went off, you know, bang, like that. And if somebody hadn't stepped in, then there would have been an almighty fight going on. And, you know, I don't know what would have happened as a consequence of that, but injuries would have occurred at the very least. We all have this ability because we are beings of love. And we, you know, I just want to say, just stop fucking resisting. You don't have the right to resist anymore. There is no, this is just a nonsense. You just get over ourselves and stop resisting. Receive, take responsibility, be of your compassion, go out into the world and make your difference.
Yeah, and I'm really seeing what you're saying is like, you know, stop resisting because it's just giving all this permission to all this.
You're part of the problem. Exactly. If you're resisting, you're part of the problem. People who are in a state of resistance think that because they're the ones causing pain to themselves, that that's all they're doing. But of course, that's simply not true. If that was the case, then we wouldn't be having this conversation because I wouldn't have suggested it as a topic, you know, because it doesn't matter. But it's not. Whenever we're resisting, we are creating a problem, either in the immediate term or further down the line, for somebody, sometime, someplace, somewhere. And we are always creating a problem for those of us who are endeavouring to make love the currency again in this place, to make healing and joy and our power the currency of this place, rather than this murder and mayhem and maiming and that's going on right in front of our eyes. If you are resisting, you are part of the problem. And I say to you, you are not allowed to do that anymore. We've run out of time now. Stop it. Get the fuck over yourself. Receive the love and the power that you are. Receive the help that is available for you out there. Receive it, the real help, not this psychobabble nonsense. And do what you came here to do, and be what you came here to be.
Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that struggles to accept a tiny bit because there's a part that goes, I am on the path of love, and I am, you know, and I would say, but sometimes I'm also resisting, you know, and that's very there. I feel like they're both very present.
Yes. Well, look, sometimes I find myself resisting, right? That's not a problem. I mean, that's just reality, right? Because sometimes you come across something and it starts pressing all sorts of bells and buzzers you didn't even realize you had, you know, and that's what it's been designed to do. And that feeling of resistance is great because that indicates to you then, oh, I need to pay attention to this. And what I'm saying is that when you get that feeling to pay attention to this, you recognize it for what it is, then please pay attention to it and bring it into healing and stop using it as an excuse to cease being the love that you are and to get in the way of the healing that is being done as we sit here and speak. Stop being part of the problem. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's perfect. I'm the least perfect person on this planet, very probably. It's not about being perfect.
Yeah.
It's about being real, and it's about taking responsibility. And it's about getting connected with that profound compassion that we all have, which says the good of the all supersedes the good for me every single time. Not this new age psychobabble that says, unless you love yourself, you can't love anybody else. Ugh. You know, that is classically, it's very clever. Because look what it does. It gets everybody right back up their own arse and dropping all their connection with everybody and everything. Because they're all focused on, oh, I've got to love myself, otherwise I can't be of any use in the world. You know, this is, you've been conned. It's a con. It's not true. You are everybody else. Everybody else is you. Until you can love everyone, every part, everybody, then you can't love every part of yourself. It's the exact opposite of what we're constantly being told. And it is a major, to go back to your original question, this is a big part of what causes resistance. Because people are struggling because they've been told to do something and they're finding on some level that it doesn't work. And that will also build resistance. Because if you're not getting anything from it, then you'll start fighting it. And really that's what resistance is, isn't it? It's when we're fighting something. And when we experience resistance in ourselves, we're just fighting something. Find out what it is that you're fighting. The moment you find it out, you don't have to do some big, healing-y type thingy. That's it. That's the problem. You've solved the problem as long as you can accept that. Ah, that's what I've been fighting. Right. So if I don't fight that, what happens then? Well, what happens then is it's being brought into healing.
So, in a way, we're fighting healing, but there's something else that we're fighting, really, isn't it? We're fighting, are we fighting the fear of the healing? We're fighting being of our profound love? What would you say we're fighting?
We're fighting feeling helpless.
Fighting feeling helpless, yeah. Ah.
That's why we want to control.
Yes. Yeah.
But as soon as we realise that you've got as much chances of controlling as you have of walking on the moon.
One day.
Which isn't even a freaking real planet. Really the only other option is just to give it up. You can't control. But you can take charge. And you can take charge when you stop resisting, obviously. Because, as we all know, what you resist persists. But the big problem is mostly people don't even realise they're resisting. Because I've had people who are resisting, like Billio, flatly deny that they're resisting, of course. It's just, it's because, you know, I'm rubbish, or I'm not explaining it properly, or...
Well, I don't resonate, or it's not the right space.
Yes, exactly. Yes, those sorts of ghastly New Age phrases. Yes, exactly. And they're just completely unwilling to be small enough so that then they can become huge.
Yeah.
I remember the Eeks, the Swazik and Veronique, who assisted me when I was, I would say beginning to wake up, but really what was happening was I was becoming less insane. they both said to me, "Oh my God, you're so open, you're so open, you're so open." And I didn't really understand what they meant at all. Much later, I began to understand what that meant. And I began to try and sort of reverse engineer that, you know, so that I could possibly help other people with this. And what I realized when I was doing my reverse engineering was the reason that I was so open was because I didn't really have any understanding of myself as Kim. Mm. In fact, quite often people, you know, I might be in a party or walk down the street or something, people would yell out my name and I'd bump into them. They say, "I yelled out your name, you didn't turn around." And it was because I was realising I wasn't actually identifying with Kim. It didn't... That sounds a bit mad, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just... It's only when we decide that we are not going to be attached to ourself, in other words, being important as ourself, that we can actually find out who we are. You know, that's the irony.
Yeah.
And as that's happened, that's when you really open up.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter, because you're quite willing, as I was quite willing, to find out what a complete and utter tosser I was being. You know, how I'd completely not understood this or not thought of that, or how I was, whatever it was, I was just, so what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Because it's not love. And I am love. So therefore, anything that is not love is just behaviour. It's not me. And I'd like to know what the behaviours are so that I don't have to do them anymore. And I can just carry on being the actual me, which isn't Kim, which is love. And it's not rocket science, really. And that makes you open. And it's probably other things as well, but that's the best. Because even though I'm reverse engineering quite a lot of the time, actually, I'm still not particularly good at it. Still might be difficult to explain things. Because, you know, it's that thing. It's sort of when you are something.
It's hard to look back and see what actually you did in order to get there.
Particularly because you might just have come down, like if you were to ask, you know, a great master artist, well, how can you do that? They just go, like, well, I don't know,
I just do
can.
It, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of, and then you try and reverse engineer it, and sometimes you get some hints and tips, but mostly it's just, I was so broken that my sense of self, in the way in which we're all brought up with it, I'd never been allowed to have as a child, you know, because of the traumas and so on and so forth that I'd experienced. And so that was a huge advantage.
Yeah. And that's interesting, fascinating to hear, because I perceive you as someone who has a very strong sense of, and maybe not in the traditional way now, from the way you experience it, but from the outside, you have a strong sense of, you know who you are, you know what you like, you can say yes, you can say no. There's a kind of a paradox, isn't there?
Well, it's that thing, is that when you don't, when you drop the neediness to be me, you actually find out who the hell you are.
Yeah.
And then you are it, not because you need to be it, but it's just because that's all you can be, which is what you really are.
Mm.
and not the sense of self. Mm. Wait, sorry, I was doing inverted commas. Mm. This is, It's radio anyway, that's what I mean. What am I trying to say? It's a recording.
Recording.
A recording, yes. Podcast, yes, thank you.
Mm.
And it's, I'm trying to think of an analogy, and all I'm seeing is these rose petals in this bowl here. And if you were to ask, you know, if we could communicate with the rose petal and you would say to the rose petal, do you know what you are? It wouldn't say rose petal. It would just say love.
Mm.
And, you know, how I am, what you're talking about really is just, it's just an expression of love. I am just an expression of love.
Mm.
And you are your own expression of love. Love has many expressions, right? Has trillions and squillions of expressions. And we're just an expression of love.
So I have a little example that I would like to ask you about. So I see also resistance, and it's very, it's exactly what you're saying, which shows up in different ways. The other day I was trying to record something, and I noticed how when I kind of just allowed myself to take a small step back, like it came through a very different way. It came through in a really beautiful way. I could feel something flowing through me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard though. It was hard to really allow it, because I felt like there was a millisecond before that where there was a bit of control, you know, and it was kind of letting go of that, that safety of the millisecond.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
But yes, no, it does.
Was it kind of very much, and it was momentarily that I noticed myself being a bit in the back seat, and that it was just coming and I didn't have to do anything. And it lasted not too long, and I went back to the kind of, you know, trying to control it a bit.
Mm.
But that's also resistance, right? That's also resistance to however that love needs to be shared or expressed in that moment.
Yes. Yes, you could say you were resisting your soul energy.
Yeah.
If you will, because your soul energy was expressing. I know exactly what you mean, because when I'm writing, speaking, doing anything now, if I am resisting, if you like, not being of, shall we say, my soul energy, or profound love or whatever, I feel it in my arms.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, which this started because I was writing. And so I'd just feel it in my arms. And then I'd know immediately, oh, I've just gone right back in my head.
Yeah.
And probably up my arse.
Yeah.
And just take a breath and get over myself and let what it is that wants to come out, come out.
Mm.
And so it would come out, and then I would read it back and I'd go, oh my God, this is about 10 trillion times better than what I could have
shared. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, because in that moment, if I think back of that part that I wanted to control, it was like, well, it needs to be a certain way, it needs to be perceived a certain way in order to be received a certain way. That's just so subtle, but it was there. And I remember thinking, wow, like, I really believed up until now that was me, you know, that I identified with this way of being so much, that kind of that subtle control of my expression, that I have not, that when it comes through like this, really unfiltered and pure, it's like, oh, like something's trying to work through me, and it feels like, oh, this is, it feels great, it's exciting. And it also to my ego was, oh, this is new, maybe, you know, we can try this out a little bit, but let's go back to the other way of being, you know, the kind of the minute control. So, you know, if then that shows up in a way that I was trying to be of service as well. So I think that resistance shows up in all aspects.
Everywhere. Totally. The idea being is obviously not to give yourself a hard time when you spot it.
Yeah.
But just to allow yourself to spot it.
Yeah.
That's all. Just be aware of it. As always, it always comes down to this, right?
Mm.
Just be aware of it, and then you don't need to be of it.
Mm.
That's it. You can go back into it, but if you go back into it, please take responsibility for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Stop blaming others, and at least maybe be very, very quiet and go away somewhere so you can get out of the way.
Mm.
Because I just want to say, it's not good enough anymore.
Mm.
Just over the last couple of years, I've just been really with this huge awareness that no. And I mean, I've always, you know, been like this whenever I've always stood up or spoken up. But that would be for myself. I would never say to a group of people, right, come on, get the fuck over yourselves and stop being tosses and getting in the way and join the party or bugger off. But I am saying that now. And I think we should all be saying it.
Yeah, it's quite nice to actually to receive in that moment from that space. So, oh, yeah, I do have the power to just go, no, I'm not, I don't have to go back into that way of being. You know, there's a part, that, there's a little part that's like, oh, but no. Yes.
Well, exactly, because, of course, all the psycho stuff says, oh, no, well, you've got to be in therapy for years and years to progress one tiny little thingy. And, of course, all therapy, and I'm beginning to think, well, I mean, more truthfully, I'm willing to say this out loud with any caveats now. All of these psycho stuffs are designed to keep you in a state of resistance. That's what it is. It's a mass mindfuck or brainwashing. It doesn't, I have never experienced anybody getting anything. They think they've received things of value and they say to me, oh yes, but Kim, but you see, but I understand that this and this and this, that what I did was actually my fault. And I'm like, what? And what they're saying to me, honestly, I don't know whether to burst into tears because my heart's just been broken or run up and shoot whoever it was that's just imparted this piece of evil. Actually, I think it's evil into this person who was just simply trying to get well. And they've just been fed a terrible piece of self-knowledge, which isn't true, and which has damaged them because they won't let go of it. They're resisting real healing because they've become attached to this control mechanism, which is what all the psychos are. They're just control mechanisms. They appeal to the part of you that thinks you can control something. You know, and you're given, what's that thing? Cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, I've come across a lot of people who've said, oh, yeah, well, I found it really helpful for this and really helpful for that and really helpful for this. And you know, I always used to say, you know what, if it works for you, then that's freaking marvellous, isn't it? And I'm, you know, that's great. And who cares what I or anybody else thinks? Good for you. That's really helped. But I don't think that anymore. And I don't say that anymore. Because it's a mind fuck. And okay, it might have helped them with that. But it's now set up an impediment of resistance so that when they're ready to really open up and become their love, power, healing and joy, they're going to find it much more difficult because that seed of resistance has been planted and has grown. Because it'll bring them into direct conflict with what they've been taught through these other therapies.
Yeah. So would you say resistance is also anything that goes towards separation? Like separating from who we are, separating from the love, separating from the cosmos, separating from each other or our bodies, our energy?
Well, yes, you can view it as that, but... But actually, I don't understand why you would want to. Is there? I can, so perhaps, just give me a second. Let me just reflect on that. Right. My feeling is that what you're saying is that when we are in a state of separation, we are also resisting. Yes.
And any therapies that reinforce that separation is really reinforcing the resistance.
Yes, I would agree with that completely. And they're designed to do that, aren't they? And, you know, I mean, look at my face, I just went... because, you know, this is a real sacred cow here that we're just
it is.
Shooting.
It is. A lot of people have
I can't
a lot
keep
of faith in it. Yeah.
Silent about it any longer. Yeah. I've always known this, yeah. but I've always, as I said, been, yep, but well, if it helps you, that's yeah. terrific, terrific, terrific. But actually, when I look at the energy that's being produced by this, and I'm seeing it, it has a distinct smell, which is very unpleasant, and it's now having a very terrible effect on all of us. But it's, we have to call this shit out.
Coming back to the Truman Show analogy, it really does keep people in that bubble.
Yes, yes.
Completely.
Yes, absolutely. Very good point. And of course, it's exactly designed to do that.
Yeah.
Because if you are going to suppress and repress people, you've got to make them feel comfortable about it.
Yeah.
You can't have any of those slaves escaping the reservation.
Yeah.
No. They have to feel comfortable about staying in the bubble. So feed them all of this psycho shit so they can spend years giving away all their money whilst they travel right up their own arse and never see anything on the bigger context because they're simply not interested in the bigger context. They're not interested in other people. There is no way that they would even consider putting another person before they would put themselves because they don't understand what they're doing because they've been brainwashed and they've been conned and they have been encouraged to resist.
Yeah, into something completely removed and beyond their natural state.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the worst of it, I don't know, sometimes I think I just say these things because they're expressions I've been brought up with.
Exactly.
You know? Well, anyway, whatever that expression is, or should be, is that people who are very loving people, very lovely people, and they've been working really hard on bringing themselves to healing and so on and so forth. And when I see people like that in a state of resistance, well, it is because I've been seeing people like that in a state of resistance more and more that I'm saying this has got to stop right now, and we have to speak up and call it out right now, and you know, and assist each other. And if it means that some friendships will get trashed, because they will, because of course, if you're in a state of resistance and you've been called out on it, you're going to run a mile from that person who's just called you out because you're resisting.
I'm not open to it,
But we have to be prepared to do that in all, because otherwise we're not in a state of love, are we? We're in a state of, as you were saying earlier, keeping ourselves safe and comfy and cozy. This isn't love.
There's a real power in this, I feel, because I know from my experience, it's like we're, you know, I speak for myself, you know, longing for the world to change and for, you know, for us to move into this space of being who we are. But it's like this happens in every moment, you know, and in every interaction. It's like this is not the right word at all, but the fight isn't out there. It's like here, in each moment.
Yes.
With ourselves and with
every single... whoever we're in front of.
Yeah, whoever's showing up.
Exactly. And, I mean, I laugh about it, which is just as well that I am able to laugh about it, because otherwise I don't know what I'd be doing. But, you know, so friends or a lover or whatever, and I'm out shopping or walking around or just generally poncing about, but out in the world, blah, 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 blah. And I'm doing my calling shit out in the ways in which, you know, I've just described and some other ways. And people are going around me, oh, Kim, that was a bit, you know, well, can't you just, oh, Kim, and I'm going, no, absolutely not. What's loveful about that? You know, thinking, right, that's an end to it. That, because... you say that, what's loveful about that? Oh, right, yeah, nothing. Okay, I'll shut up. But no, it carries on and carries on. And it gets to a point I have to say, look, this is who I am. If it makes you uncomfortable, I quite understand. But I'm not going to change this. I don't want to change this. And neither do I want somebody nagging me about it. So either accept this or go and find somebody else to be friends with. So, you know, I've had this conversation more than once in my life. Not for a long time, because I tend to be able to spot those who are going to be uncomfortable a mile off and just, you know, gently nudge them along somewhere else or just say something, make sure they hear it. Then they'll run off all by themselves. But this is what we have to be prepared to do. You know, we have to be prepared to be disliked, to be disrespected. And we have to be prepared, certainly in my case, for people to run around and trash your reputation. You know, because when you stick your head up above the parapet, there will be people who will pelt it.
Mm.
They will chuck stuff at it. That's why compassion is the root of all courage. Because when you are of your compassion, you have the courage to be able to do that.
Mm.
But it will happen. And it's another reason, of course, why people resist. Mm. Because they're not willing to allow themselves to experience that. Mm. Because, again, their neediness supersedes the well-being of the all.
Mm.
The heart of all resistance. Mm. Aha! Finally answered that question.
That when your neediness supersedes the needs of the all, did you say?
The well-being of the all. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be the ultimate resistance, actually, hasn't it? Because you're putting yourself above all, you're resisting your actual natural inclination, your lovefulness, if you will, which is to serve the all. Mm. Because when you are serving the all, you then serve the all of you. Again, that's the tragic irony of it. If only people would stop resisting that. Mm. But it's true. It is only in, I would say, actually, it is only in the serving of the all that you serve the all of yourself. Mm. It's how the energy here, anyway, works. Why? Because you are the all. Mm. Because everybody is a part of you and you are a part of everybody. So you don't need a degree in metaphysics to understand that. It's just logical, right? Mm. It's just obvious, actually. Yeah, and this sort of aching my arms, and you were talking about what you're experiencing. I know that I get this when what I'm writing, it might be excellent, but it's not serving the all as best it could be.
Mm.
Because sometimes, you know, I'm doing this and I'm going, oh, okay. And then I instantly know that this needs to be looked at. But for the life of me, I can't think. And I'm thinking, but this is actually quite beautifully written. You know, what the hell's going on? And then take a breath, get over myself. Oh, right. Okay, that is much better. And it's that willingness to put aside, you know, but actually that's extremely well written. Me. Just put that one. And then... Mm-hmm. So if you have that intention, that desire to be of service to the all, then you will be instantly supported in that.
Mm.
Instantly supported in that. Everything in the cosmos will come to you.
That's what I was going to ask, actually. I was going to ask, are there stages, or can it happen in the moment?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, it's interesting you say that, because it's only the psychos, you know, the psycho so-called treatments, therapies, whatever they are, that say it has to happen in stages, presumably because they get more money. I've got no idea why. Well, they're trained like this, but I think I might have mentioned this before, but somebody was filming and asking questions about a psychotherapist convention. Mm. And, or was it a psychiatrist convention? Mm, one of the two. And... The question was, you know, well, how often do you cure your patients? Right? Good question, right? Mm. How often do you effect cure in your patients? And not one of them said anything other, well, never.
Mm. Yeah.
So what? What does that tell you?
Yeah.
And speaking from my own personal experience, having had many people who've been psychoed out of their tiny little minds, or unfortunately not out of their tiny little minds, it's even worse than that. It's not that they haven't ever effected a cure. They've made it much more difficult for that person to ever experience profound healing.
To really open, yeah.
To be open, exactly. Because they're now in a state, they've intensified the resistance.
Mm.
Very difficult. It's very difficult to work with these people. My heart always sinks when somebody, you know, comes and they reveal that they've had one of these therapies. It's just, oh, shit. I know that it's going to require a massive amount of extra energy from me and all the energies I work with to assist them. And then, even then, it's only going to work if they're able to, you know, they only have to open up a centimetre.
Mm.
But it's going to be really difficult for them to do even that.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to a psychiatrist or a patient about this, if you were to speak to them? You know, what would be the step, what would be the path, what would be a way for them to navigate this?
How much do they really want to be of their love? Now, of course, when I say that, everybody, because they're still in that state of resistance and therefore they have to be marvellous, right, will say, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I just keep repeating it until they can then feel the resistance themselves. And then if we're all going to be blessed that day, they'll burst into tears. Great, that's the resistance breaking down. Hooray, hooray, hooray. If not, they'll quite often start asking me questions about myself. That's a classic way to resist, you know.
Yeah, I feel as you said that, like, how much do you want to be of your love? And if you keep, I keep repeating that question, that what comes up after a while is like, yes, but as long as I can stay...
Exactly.
As I can say,
it reveals the resistance. Yeah. Yes.
As long as I can say, stay safe.
As long as I can control it.
Then I'll be on my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
going beyond. As long as I know I'm going to get something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always, you know, a bargain to be made.
That's interesting.
And then, of course, it reveals the courage or lack thereof, which, of course, is actually because the compassion isn't there. And either that's something that can be resurrected, that they're willing to engage in, and therefore they can resurrect it, or they're lost. And they're, you know, or they're a shadow soul. It's quite easy sometimes to spot shadow souls.
They can't connect to that.
Yeah, and they just can't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. is there a practice that you either have on your website or something you can think of?
Well, just about everything on the site will help with ceasing resistance, with opening up. And let me just connect up and reflect on... the old favourite. So for a sort of very straightforward and something you can do wherever you are and whatever you're doing, is you can do my most favouritest thing for these emergency situations, because for me it is an emergency. If you're in a state of resistance, you are in a state of emergency. You need emergency first aid right now.
Healing first aid.
Yes. Close your eyes. Stand up if you can, if it's possible, wherever it is that you are. Stand up. Place your legs a little apart from each other. Relax as much as you can in this position. And then tilt your head up with your eyes closed so that your chin is sort of facing towards the ceiling, but not so much that you're putting a strain on the back of your neck. And just say out loud, not shouty, but just in your normal voice, or you can be a little bit quieter if you're concerned you might be overheard. And you just say, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. So those two words, help me, and you just keep repeating them until it sounds like this. Help me, 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 help. And you're just doing that. And then you'll become aware sooner or later that you're not thinking about anything. You're just, it just becomes this sound. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And actually it's really opening you up to receive whatever help it is that the cosmos, your soul energy, whatever you want to call things that I call that, you're opening up to receive what it is that they deem, your soul, the cosmos, deems is going to best serve you. So this is not, you are not saying help me because you want a brand new car or because you want your lover to come back or for any reason at all. You are saying help me because you are opening up, ceasing to resist. You are opening up to receive help from your soul, from the cosmos, so that you can become the responsible being that you are and experience the love that you are. And I never, ever create something that hasn't been created either in a response to something for myself or that somebody that I'm helping has required. And this was something that I created in response to me needing help.
Mm. I like it.
It's really powerful. Yeah. And it's really easy.
Yeah, it's really easy.
And it really works.
Great. Nice nugget there. Okay, is there anything else you want to add to the subject?
Being the love that you are, ceasing the resistance, is the most fun, the most fabulousness you will ever experience, ever.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's go out and do that. Thank you, Kim.